Charles is 80 years old, a very nice guy. 3 years ago, his wife died, and for the past 3 years, he would call his voicemail pretty much every day, just to hear an old message of her saying her name, which was pretty much all he had recorded of her. It's all a lot of us have recorded of ourselves. When Verizon updated his service, the message went away. Obviously, Charles was devastated. He spent hours and hours on the phone with them trying to get it back, which he finally did, so a bit of a happy ending there. But this story really grabbed me. There's something really touching about this guy dialing a number he'll never pick up just to hear his dead wife say her name. That's Charles' way of dealing with his loss. Everyone deals with their losses differently. And today, on this, the very first episode of The Flight in the Fall, we'll be exploring love and loss in various ways. I'm your host, Abe Engel. And today we have four pieces for you on the subject of love and loss. First, Saturday Night, a fiction in which we witness the death of a relationship. It is ugly. Then, Relationship Advice from Miss Lonely Hearts. Hug Me, an audio composition. And finally, I Was a Broken-Hearted Teenage Werewolf, a montage of interviews with real-life people who have had actual broken hearts. Stay tuned. First up, we have Saturday Night, a found sound piece which I've set to music. Enjoy.
Get back to you. That little button.
The afternoon, Saturday evening. Talk to you later.
Hi, Chris, are you there? Right now it is 7:40 and I'm on my way home. This is Saturday night. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. To be good or bad to me? You have another thing coming. You can't do that to people. And thank you for hurting my feelings and for ruining my birthday. I really appreciate that. Don't worry about anybody but yourself or what you do to other people. Chris, you think every time you get your period, the whole world gets to suffer with you. You make sure that we do, too. Thank you. Goodbye. How can I communicate with you when all you do is yell and scream at me? That's hard to communicate back with someone. Besides that, how do you like being called every 2 minutes and yelled at? Isn't it fun?
Every 2 damn minutes.
Hi, I'm returning your call, Chris. Are you there?
Hold on a second.
Hi, Chris. This is Art. It's about 4:30. I got your message, so give me a call when you get home.
I deserve a chance in life. I'm coming for my things. I am coming for for my things. I'm coming for my things. I deserve a chance in life. I don't have any money. I'm coming for my things. I need my things.
Hello, it's me, Mother. It's 9:36. Checking on you. I'll see if I can get a hold of you at work in a little while. Bye.
Please hang up now. This is a recording. Please hang up and dial again. If you need assistance, call your operator. Please hang up now.
To be nice to me because it's not very nice to keep my things. So just let me be on my way, you on your way. If you just let me get my guitar and my TV and some various other items that I need, like bills and my journals. Please don't read my journals, they're mine. I'll give you a call at work and maybe there's some way you can provide me with the access, otherwise I am going to have to get on the road, because I can't stay in limbo here, and I'm making a...
Special thanks to RJ from SweetThunder.org for making that piece of found sound and many other pieces of found sound available. It's www.sweetthunder.org. Our next segment is a dramatization of a piece that first appeared in McSweeney's. Hope you like it.
Married 6 weeks ago, but I've already noticed that my husband's attentions toward me have cooled. All he does is stand there on his four wooden legs with a centerpiece in the middle of him. And when I try to talk to him, he says nothing at all. It's gotten so that while I'm eating dinner off him, I can't even look him in the eyes, if he had eyes. I've tried everything, polishing him with pledge, putting in the extra leaf. I even got him some extra chairs to spice things up. Still nothing. What am I doing wrong? Sincerely, Lonely in Louisiana.
Dear Lonely, I noticed that you mentioned eating in your letter. You're probably too fat for anyone to love. Best wishes, Miss Lonely Hearts.
Dear Miss Lonely Hearts, my parents have been married for 50 years, but I recently found out that they are part of an army of genetically altered polar bears planning on taking over the Earth. Since I found out, I've had trouble trusting anyone, especially if they're a genetically altered polar bear. Will I ever heal? Thanks, Distrusting in Detroit.
Dear Distrusting, well, I guess you're just judge and jury for the world. These are your parents, and if they want to take over the Earth with their mind-boggling, futuristic bear powers, then I suggest you respect their wishes. P.S. You're a jerk. Regards, Miss Lonely Hearts.
Dear Miss Lonely Hearts, I'm writing to you about my boyfriend. He's rich, good-looking, and has an adorable German accent. There's just one problem. He never takes me out anywhere. He claims it's because he's an international war criminal, afraid of being apprehended and brought to The Hague. He claims that he faked his own death years ago and isn't about to blow his cover now. But I think the real problem is that he doesn't think I'm attractive enough to be seen with. Any advice? Best, self-conscious in Santiago.
Dear self-conscious, I can't believe you wrote this letter on stationery with those stupid Love Is characters on it. Grow up, and then maybe Hitler will take you out for dinner. Sheesh. Warm thoughts, Miss Lonely Hearts.
Dear Miss Lonely Hearts, I have a confession to make. Whenever my girlfriend goes to work, I go to my next-door neighbor Rick's house and hang out with him. Rick understands me in a way that my girlfriend doesn't, and the way I feel around him has me wondering if I might be gay. We love watching Desperate Housewives on his TiVo, and unlike my girlfriend, Tanya, he lets me put a saddle on him and eat sugar cubes right out of my hand. We haven't fooled around yet, but we're definitely having an emotional affair. I tell Rick all of my secrets, and he neighs and whinnies as if he were my best friend. Is it unusual for a 30-year-old guy to have feelings for another man? Signed, Confused in Colorado.
Dear Confused, if you like Desperate Housewives, you are definitely gay. Also, why did you put quotes around fooled around? Were you actually quoting someone? May I suggest you get two things. One, a Chicago manual of style. Two, a life. Hugs, Miss Lonely Hearts.
Special thanks to Wendy Molyneux for that. Her piece first appeared in McSweeney's. You can find more of her work there at www.mcsweeneys.net. I also want to thank our voice actors in order of appearance, Ann Adams, Adriana Mazza, Lucas Moore, Geneva Lumbly, and Jack Saturn. Next up, we have an audio composition called Hug Me.
Hug me. Hug me. Hug me. Hug me.
Our final piece is a montage of interviews I conducted with some real-life people with real-life broken hearts called I Was a Broken-Hearted Teenage Werewolf. Enjoy it.
From the same place. I mean, sometimes you meet somebody who's from the same place and you know certain things about certain things that nobody else knows. I sometimes think in America the best parallel might be the way that people who are from the South sometimes meet with each other and they're like, we're from the South, and it's not like some, you know, like Confederate flag waving, you know, sort of thing. It's just you understand certain things about a way of life that it happens to exist, you know, that no one else maybe does, or that just wouldn't understand if they weren't from there. So that's kind of why he and I just hit it off, but then we started hanging out. But I guess it was a pretty short relationship. I just didn't realize I don't think I realized until a lot later how much I invested in it. We hung out every day and we were like best friends. And it happened really fast. I think I probably got knocked up the first time we had sex. And didn't figure it out for like 2 months. And it was really weird. Because he was gonna, you know, he was all like, oh, I'll come with you or whatever. And then he was trying to get into university, trying to get into a grad program, grad school. And I was like, his interview fell on the same day as my appointment on the other side of the continent. And I was like, dude, you know what? It's more important for you. Just go. And I didn't care. But then he didn't even like send me a fucking text message to be like, hey, hope you're okay. Nothing. Like, didn't call me when he got back. And so I called him. I was like, hey, what's going on? Like, you're back. And he's like, yeah. I don't know. Like, we kind of hung on for a couple more months, but it got really weird and it just got really bizarre. And it made me really angry because I think I was mad at myself for letting what happened happen and just just for letting him kind of take me for granted, I guess. But then, I don't know, it just kind of petered out. It just got really weird. Like, I got really anxious, and it started being like, you know, it's like the end of a relationship, right? So you can tell that you start kind of obsessing over little details, and because we sort of stopped sleeping together a whole lot, even though we spent a whole lot of time together. And then when I finally, a couple weeks after that, got around to talking to him, he was so mean to me. And I don't know. He was like, sometimes I wonder if I just deluded myself about the whole thing, but he was all like, well, we were never together. Like, I don't know what made you think that. He was like, I think you had more to, his line was, I feel like you had more to offer me when we were still friends. So this was like outside a club one night, and I almost got in a fist fight with him. A friend of mine like thankfully intervened and took me home. But yeah, I don't know, I guess that's still in my mind because I've been thinking about it a lot lately again, because it's been a while. It's been like a little bit more than a year, and I guess it takes a while sometimes for you to have enough perspective to start kind of combing through events and thinking about, you know, your own perspective, or thinking about what motivates you to do certain things. It was just, the whole thing was just so weird. Like, when I think about it now, I'm like, oh, fuck, I let that happen. You really broke my heart.
I was going to go out to her place in Seattle for a few weeks, and I was starting a job down here on the 19th, and then she was going to come down on the 1st and look for a place, but like, we were going to get a place together, but she was like, I'm not ready for that, and she liked her privacy and all that stuff, and so we were just going to live in separate places for a while. But then as I was driving out here, it's like we talked a couple of times on the phone for a while, and finally after a few days of just awkwardness and stuff, finally just I was able to get to the point to ask, you know, what was really going on. Like, and she's like, I care a lot about you, but I don't love you anymore, and I kind of seen somebody else. And I know that was a very rough time, like actually going through that, because we had such a connection. It's like we even like had a I don't know, like a psychic connection. Like, I never really believed much into that until this relationship. Like, I could always sense if something was going on with her. And here we are, you know, thousands of miles away. And it's like, I could tell if something was going on. Even with this thing with this guy, like, I knew. Something was telling me, like, she's talking to another guy. You know, I never had that feeling before. And it's like, something just told me that she was talking to some other guy at the time. And so it was, like, really weird, you know, but to actually finally get to that point, you know. I had a lot of good friends that I talked to a lot. It was really hard, you know, because I thought that she was the one, you know.
I was in a relationship for 4 years, and I loved him like my life depended on it. He was the first person that ever loved me. We moved to Portland. When we moved here, I don't know, a lot just changed. He got really isolated. He is kind of socially anxious, and so has a hard time making friends, and also wasn't, like, in an environment with other people who were, you know, young and, like, just really had a hard time sort of finding his place. And I think he felt too dependent on me. I was definitely, like, the more forceful one in the relationship. Eventually it ended, and like almost 3 years ago now, and it still affects me. Like, I still get upset about it. We broke up. Well, this is really stupid. So I met someone that I felt intensely attracted to, and at that time, we were fighting all the time, and, you know, I felt really alone most of the time that I was with him. Like, I just felt like we weren't connecting, and that he wasn't really interested in my pursuits, and he wasn't really giving me much of himself. And anyway, so at that point, I was like, I'm young, and I just want to be young, and, like, so we tried to have an open relationship for, like, 2 months, which didn't work, and we wound up just breaking up over something dumb, and it was just obvious to me that, like, it didn't matter what I did, it didn't matter what I tried, it didn't matter, like, how fucking hard I pushed, or, like, what I tried to fix, I just couldn't fix it, it was just broken, and so I said, okay, like, I don't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with me. And we broke up. And then 3 weeks later, he got into this relationship with the girl that he's with now, that he moved to San Diego with. And I was, like, devastated. I just couldn't deal with it. I couldn't get over it. And did some pretty stupid things that I won't talk about. And there came this point when anytime I called him, he would just hang up on me or, like, tell me he didn't want to have anything to do with me or, and, there was one day that I went to his house and he was like, he threatened to, like, get a restraining order against me. And I was like, wow, that's painful. Like, this person who, like, I just loved with everything that I had and who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with and who, you know, is, like, so, I don't know, horrified at my existence that this is his response. And it felt like dying for 3 years, pretty much. And it's only been in the last 4 months that I've been whole. You know, but that day on the steps when he, like, called me a bitch and, like, told me he didn't ever want to fucking talk to me again, and, like, I don't know. I think that was the day that I died. Like, my soul just broke that day. And I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know if he thinks about me. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about him.
Space, and that's what you live in, and that's your relationship. But I think when you start being unable to live in that common space, when you start kind of picking over really little details, I think for me, when I become conscious that I'm doing that, it's a sign that it's, you know, that something is clearly not working, that it's falling apart. So I mean, you know, it's just the stupid shit, like, oh, I've called him like the last 10 times in a row and he hasn't called me, or like, you know, I can sleep at his place but he won't stay the night at my place. But you kind of obsess about little things like that. Or you start to go, you know, maybe you go out one night with a different friend to a party and you see him there and he's hanging out with some girl, and then you're like, you totally create this like story in your head that he's picking up this chick and taking her home and he's gonna lie to you about it. Yeah. I mean, I suppose they're probably, that kind of worry is omnipresent in any relationship, but presumably if it's functioning, you can just talk about it like human beings without throwing too many things at each other.
You know, I kind of character myself as a hopeless romantic. You know, it's like I totally believe that there's somebody out there for everybody that's just pretty much perfect for them. It doesn't mean that they're going to be perfect, but the flaws that you know, because nobody's perfect, but you know, the flaws that they would have would be stuff that you could deal with, and it's not a big deal.
I guess I don't believe that because I try to be a pragmatist, and the odds of that just really seem way too fucked. It's like, okay, so my one is living in, like, you know, Srebrenica or, like, the backwoods of Laos. Like, fuck, okay, I guess I better just give up and start collecting ceramic cats now. Yeah, maybe, but I don't know. I don't really think of it that way at all. Like, when I think about, you know, like, a future and sort of have, like, little, like, cotton candy clouds, sometimes it doesn't even include another person. Usually it's more like me kind of like tramping around the world and, you know, talking to interesting people, but it doesn't even have, there's not even like room for another person, so so I don't know. I suppose maybe at some point I'll find somebody, but I don't know if I believe in the there's just one person theory. I think it's more like at some point you decide that you'd rather do things not alone than alone. And then you find somebody who more or less measures up. Someone whose stink doesn't turn you off and whose mess doesn't drive you too crazy.
I've seen some relationships like this in Pennsylvania. I have a friend that I worked with. She'd been married for 26 years, and she's like, my husband's still my best friend, and like we do things together all the time, and you know, like that's kind of how I see the ideal relationship, where like two people just love to be together, and you know, it's like they're not like, oh, I need my time, I need, you know, it's like, but it's like they spend time together, and they do it because they just love to be around each other, and they're best friends, and like that's kind of what I'm looking for, you know, and I think that's what, from what I've talked to a lot of people, I think that's what a lot of people are really looking for too, and just, you know, finding that quote unquote soulmate, you know, that really can just, they can just be friends with and be themselves around and just spend time together.
God, I miss that. I just miss someone being sure and just loving.
I've kind of gotten to the point in my life where it's like, I don't need a relationship, but I want a relationship. And so that's been, coming out here has been really good to do that. Just going on this trip by myself and driving cross country really helped me think a lot, and just really, you know, you're by yourself a lot and you just think, and you know, it gets you stronger.
You know, the course of whatever, 12 or 15 years of being with people or in love with people or whatever, it's totally been tumultuous and full of drama, I guess. But it's not, you know, I mean, I have amazing friends, you know, sometimes I sit around and go, fuck, like, you know, I'm one of those people who's like, oh yeah, I've never like had a relationship last longer than a year. But I've had some of the same friends since I was 5 years old. I mean, I've been really fortunate to have really amazing friends who, you know, who I've been able to keep for a really long time. I have friends all over the world, practically. So sometimes I have to think about it that way. It's like, you know, you have good luck in some things, bad luck in other things. And yet I still, you know, keep looking for this, whatever, this thing that's out there somewhere, that's some dude or whatever that's gonna make me happy.
I am ambivalent about relationships. I am afraid to love someone that much again and rely on them and trust them and then have them call me a bitch and tell me they never ever want to talk to me again. And then leave and actually do that. I'm pretty terrified of that. And I continue to be, but I'm trying to get over it. There's enough hardness in the world, I don't need to be a part of it.
I want to thank all the people who shared their stories with us. My name is Abe Engel, and this has been the first episode of The Flight in the Fall. We'll be back at some point in time, hopefully soon, with a new episode dealing with a totally different theme. If you want to catch that episode, go to www.hoodturkey.com, and you can sign up for the podcast, mailing list, etc. Currently, we're operating with zero funding. Nada. Nothing. No money. So I'm not sure when the next episode is going to be out. If you want to donate or find out about other art projects, again, go to www.hoodturkey.com. You can also find a link to email me, and I totally want to hear from you. Love letters, story ideas, constructive criticism, stock tips, pictures of your grandma. If you're a band and you want to let me use some of your music, definitely make the next episode come out much quicker. It takes time to write all this stuff. That's www.hoodturkey.com, and you can email me at hoodturkey@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Abe Engel. Thanks for listening.